Isaiah chapter number 14. Pastor asked that all the Sunday school teachers to teach about a lesson on the devil, and so we're going to do that this morning. And I do think it is good to know your adversary. It's good to know who you're fighting against and the things that he tries. It's not that we can't personally defeat him, but with the Lord's help, we don't have to let him defeat us. So that's a blessing. Isaiah chapter number 14, we're going to read this section about Lucifer. Starting in verse number 12, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" All right, let's pray this morning, and we're going to look at this topic. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I do thank you for helping us get here this morning and just the safety, and Lord, just the way you work out all the little details. And Lord, we sometimes get frustrated with things that we seem is not according to our plans, but Lord, you have a plan, you have a purpose, and God, we thank you for that. Lord, help us this morning as we look at the devil, and honestly, what I believe is one of the attributes of the devil that I fight, seem like I fight a lot in my own life, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be better at this, and Lord, help us all to just take a lesson from the Word of God, and guide my lips this morning, help all the Sunday school teachers they teach, help give a quietness in their class, and Lord, I pray that you would just bind the devil this morning and help pastor to have free reign, free speech, and Lord, give him the power that he needs. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible talks here about Lucifer. This is one of the references in the Old Testament that it talks about Lucifer. And if we look here in Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, I think there's something very important here, and we're going to look at this, basically this subject this morning, about pride. Pride. You know, I think ultimately it was pride that got Satan where he was. You know, we can go to several places in the Bible, and that would be pretty much universally agreed upon that pride pretty much put Satan where he was. And I got thinking about pride, and I was looking things up last night, and I was like, why did they call? Because when they talk about lions, even, they talk about a lion pride, and that's talking about the group of lions. So I thought maybe there was some really, you know, really neat meaning to this. So I Googled it, like we all do, or that's what I do anymore. So I Googled it, and basically there's really no special meaning to it. It's just that lions have always stood for, let's say, royalty or regalness, you know, a high stature. You know, they call the lion the king of the jungle, even though lions really don't live in the jungle. But they call them the king of beasts, even. Okay, and so lions have always stood for that status, basically, and that's the only reason that they call them a pride. Okay, so there's really no, you know, nice spiritual reason or anything like that. In fact, I did find out something interesting last night. I found out that a group of owls, because owls are considered wise, there was what, parliament? A group of owls is called a parliament. Who'd have thought? I don't know. So, I guess you learn all kinds of stuff in Sunday school. But Parliament, although I can't say as I've ever seen more than one owl at a time. So there must just not, you know, wise people must not like hanging together. I don't know. But so there's really no reason. But it's interesting that they use the word pride even when they're talking about lions. Okay? And I don't know, I've watched some videos about lions, and, you know, I mean, they're predators. And they're really not any different than your house cat that's chasing a mouse, okay? Quite honestly, it's just a really large, all right, cat. But it's interesting that the Bible talks about these roaring lions, and you know, we go to 1 Peter, and the Bible talks about the lion as your adversary, and roaring and coming to get people. But I got thinking about this, and honestly, I still came back to this pride issue, because I know in my life I struggle with pride. Okay, I struggle with we think of ourselves higher than we ought to, because ultimately it's but by the grace of God that any of us are sitting here this morning. Okay, any one of us could be out. You know, we could be dead. Or we could be out begging, or we could live in a different nation, okay? And there's a lot of different things. If you really think about where God has allowed us to be, okay, we're not, there is no self-made man, okay? God has given, yes, I mean, people do work, and they do try hard, and, you know, I believe that's important, and God rewards that. But by the grace of God, listen, folks, you're an American. Okay, you didn't have to be, God didn't have to have you be born in America. Okay, honestly, I love this part of the country. I love being in this part of the country. You know, some people, they want to go other places and they want to, you know, do all these other places. I'm very thankful that God has placed me right here where I'm at. And honestly, I'm very thankful. I mean, we got some other good churches in this area, but I'm thankful that by the grace of God that I'm at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, I mean, my mom and dad could have made one or two decisions. You think about this. My mom and dad could have made one or two decisions, and I might not even be in church. And if I was, I might not even be here. Okay? And it doesn't make that church, wherever they was going to, necessarily a bad church. I'm just thankful that I'm here. Okay? But, you know, I have very little control over that, about the way God has orchestrated my life. So it would be wrong for me to get proud. And I thought of a few things last night and this week as I was thinking about this. I knew this week was coming up. And I think I've got down three different things that pride causes. Pride causes these different things, or pride is one of these things. And, you know, let me get to that in a minute. All right, first thing I want to say is pride causes people to go to hell. That's the truth. And you want to be honest about it. Pride causes more people to go to hell than any false religion that there is. Okay? It does. Because why? Because, first of all, let's go to Psalms. Let me take you in. We're going to show you Bible. I'm going to show you all this in the Bible. Psalms chapter number 10. Psalms chapter number 10. You know, Satan will end up in hell one day, in the lake of fire. And why is that? Because of his pride. Okay? Psalms chapter number 10, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." Why does a wicked man put down somebody that's poor? Because he's proud. Because of his pride. And we're going to talk about this in a very practical sense, okay, here in just a moment. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance. Now, remember the Bible talks about, in Proverbs, there's abominations to the Lord. And one of those is a proud look. A proud look. The Bible talks about here, the wicked through the pride of his countenance. That's his facial. You know, your countenance is your facial and your personality, I guess. So the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. Why does the proud end up in hell? Well, I believe that they don't think that they need God. I don't need God. Why do I need God? I've got everything. You know, and honestly, if you are honest with yourself, any one of us in here could have that attitude. Okay, this is the adult Sunday school class. Most of you are, you know, you're established in life, and okay, you could say, well, I don't need church. I don't need God. I'm fine the way I am. And you could say that, and you know you'll probably live the rest of your life and you would never have to go to church again, and you would never, but you know what? It's sad that the wicked, they never need God. Well, we don't need God. You know, many times when people get saved, we've heard a lot of testimonies about the then came Jesus. Brother Comfort was just here. You know, a lot of these people, when they've been saved, they've kind of hit bottom at some point. They've gone all the way to the bottom. And you know, when people get all the way to the bottom, that's when they realize that they truly do need God. Okay? But what keeps people from getting to that point? I don't need God. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter number 4. I'm going to show you a man here that didn't need God. Daniel chapter number 4. Verse number 28. Daniel 4:28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee. Now listen to this last statement. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And if you know about Nebuchadnezzar, then they, you know, what exactly what the Bible talks about. They drove him out from before, from men. The God basically gave him a heart of an animal, okay? And he lived like an animal. And you know, sad to say, but I think some of you, I think this generation, I read a book, and I won't mention the book, but I read a book not too long, or part of a book not too long ago. And, you know, I think some of you, if you would go back to your young adult years, even to where we are now, you would never think that we would be where we're at right now. I mean, you never in your mind dreamed that you'd be walking down the street and you'd be meeting people with, you know, different colored hair and, you know, look like they got shot with a nail gun. I mean, honestly, and I'm not, they need Jesus too, but you never dreamed that you would be seeing what you're seeing today. Okay, you thought it was bad when you were young adults, and it's gotten progressively worse. And you know what people are doing? They're living, I don't remember who I was talking to the other day, but they're living like animals. They're living like animals. I mean, the way they, in every way. I mean, I've got 3 pigs at my house. Okay? I grew up, I worked in a hog farm, I worked in Brother Tom's turkey farm, I've worked on a cattle farm, okay? People are not living much farther above animals. They, listen to me, they wait for somebody to bring them their food, okay? They wait for somebody to bring them their food, they wait for somebody to clean up after them, all right? They breed like animals. And I'm not trying to be gross here, but people, God has given people the heart of an animal anymore. And you know what? It's, why is that? Because they don't, you know, they don't need God. I'm okay. I'm fine the way I am. They don't need God. And we see here Nebuchadnezzar, God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, look what I've done. Look at all this that I've made. And God said, that's it. Now you're going to live like an animal. Okay? And we see that in Nebuchadnezzar's life. So pride causes people to go to hell. Why? Well, I believe they don't think they need God. I don't need God. I can live life the way I want to. Second reason, they think they are God. This is the other big thing, okay? First of all, people don't think they need God. I'm fine the way I am. You know, I'm just going to have a, you know, you mentioned hell to them and their need of being saved. Well, I'm just going to have a party down there with all my friends. That's how shallow their comprehension is of who God is and the penalty of sin. Okay, I don't need God. Why would I need God? The second thing is, I believe they think they are God. And what did the Bible say in Isaiah we just read? Lucifer said, until I am like the Most High. I think it was maybe not like, but that's what he said. All right, let's go to Acts. Go to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. All right? Now, why did Herod die? Because he thought, when they said, oh my goodness, what an orator. It's the voice of a God. You know, the Bible basically says this. He didn't give God the glory. You know the flip side of that? If he didn't give God the glory, he took the glory. Okay? So he thought in his mind, yeah, you know what? I am a God. Okay? I am a God. And God passed judgment immediately, which I think would be really cool to see. But that's what the Bible says. I mean, he was eaten of worms, then gave up the ghost. So I don't know how all that happened, but it was not a pretty sight, I'm sure. But you think about this. Why I'm just using a simple Bible illustration, but you think about where people are at today. They have no sense of right and wrong. They are their own moral standard. The Bible says in Judges, every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes. They are their own God. And everything they do, every sacrifice they make, everything that they do is only for their flesh. I'm only going to do what appeases my flesh. And it kind of goes back to that animal thing. What do animals do? They survive. They do what feels good to the flesh. You know what makes us different than animals is that we have a soul that should dictate to us morals. Okay? And animals don't have that. Okay? Yeah. Well, a dog is loyal. That's trained. That's taught to them. Okay? But they're still an animal. They're still an animal. All right? They don't have the soul like we do. And so pride causes people to go to hell. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Here's another Old Testament reference to Satan. And he's called the Prince of Tyre, or King of Tyre. Ezekiel chapter 28, look at verse number... And remember, we're talking about the devil this morning. And I'm warning us because I fight pride in my life. And I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm going to show you here in a minute. I should have brought a chair with me. I didn't. But I'm going to show you here in a minute what I'm talking about. But Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible says, verse number 2, the Son of Man saying to the Prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. What did we just talk about? He's trying to be a God. Okay? I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. In the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. And this whole, most of this is down through at least verse 15, I think, is talking about Satan here. What did he say? I am a God. And there again, folks, why are so many people going to hell? I believe it's because they think two things. Number one, they don't need God. Now, they may not put themselves in the completely, they may not say that they're a God, but then that's the next step. They think they are God. Well, I can just dictate, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, that's a very humanistic statement. I don't see anything wrong with that. Yeah, but does God see anything wrong with it? Because that's the real question. Okay? It doesn't matter what my opinion is. At some point, folks, we have to have a standard of truth. And I've used this illustration because I think it's a big deal. I use a tape measure almost every day of my life. And if I don't trust that tape measure, then everything that I do will be all out of whack. And you know, that's where we're at in today's society. Everyone just wants to make their own standard of truth. They think they are God. All right? They're not God. And it kind of burns me up. But anyway, so pride causes people to go to hell. They don't think they need God, like Nebuchadnezzar. They think they are God, like Herod. You know, God gave Nebuchadnezzar another chance, didn't he? God didn't give Herod another chance. I think there's a step there, if that makes sense. Okay? Sometimes you think they don't need God, and then God brings them down to the place where they realize, I do need God. But when you get to the place that you think you are God, I don't think there is. I think that's... I'm not saying there's not a chance for anyone. When you get to a place that you think you are God, that's a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place. Okay? So pride causes people to go to hell. We gave a couple of reasons there. Pride causes contention. Go to Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 10. Most of you know this verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's a very practical thing. I think probably this morning, the first point doesn't really apply to most of you because obviously you're here this morning. I think you at least show God that you want to please God by being here this morning. But remember, when you're dealing with people, remember that. You know, pride causes these things. 1 Corinthians, what did I tell you? Chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I don't really have time to read this. You'll get the gist, though. Verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now that's interesting, because I hope if you weren't here Wednesday night, I encourage you, get the CD or the message from Wednesday night. Pastor taught through 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 about the meats offered to idols. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And he kind of hit this a little bit while he was talking about it. But the Bible says now there are diversities of gifts, but it doesn't say there's divisions. There's diversity, and we got to realize what the difference is. You can have diversities, but we shouldn't have division, okay? And I believe that because of sometimes our diversities, we have division as a result of that. And why do we have division? Well, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention. That's a division, okay? And because of our pride, because of my pride, that's why I don't get along with people sometimes, is because of my pride. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks about this. Verse number 12. Jump down to verse number 12. Bible says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him." Now, God gives us a perfect illustration here. Pastor Robert Ross wrote a whole book, I think we have a few copies. It's about the symphony, okay? And you know, the symphony, or the body, whichever way you look at it, each member is important. Every member is important. And you know, in the body of Christ, every member is important. I was teaching the young people in our teen training hour this past Wednesday. I don't know why, maybe God just put all this on my heart, but we was teaching about this some last Wednesday, and I think it's important, first of all, that we all understand that, listen, folks, God made you who you are. Very specially, we go to Jeremiah chapter number 1, and we see how God formed each one of us, and not just formed us, but ordained us. And when we, you know, Pastor talked about this when we were talking about the divine lines between man and woman. You know, ladies, you're just as important as a man is. Just in a different way. Okay? And when you're doing what God has created you to do, you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. There is no inequality there if you're doing what God created you to do. Some of you do different things than what I do. But if that's what God created you to do, then you're doing the will of God. You know, people get so dissatisfied with, well, I'm just not, you know, especially young people, I think when you get older, you just don't give a rip anymore. But especially young people, they get into this, well, they feel insecure. That's probably the best way to put it. Because of maybe the way they look, okay, the things that they know how to do, the things that they can do, okay? And you know, I'm not trying to fit, listen folks, I'm not trying to have this perfect mold except for Jesus Christ, okay? I think we should all strive to be like Jesus Christ. But as far as humanly speaking, I don't want this mold that I try to make every one of our young people in our youth group, I try to shove them into this mold. Because you know what? God doesn't have a mold that he tries to fit all of us into. And I'm thankful for that. You know, God wants every one of you to be who you are. But God also wants every one of us to be more like him, if that makes sense. And we can all do that. We can all be who you are. Okay, there's some people in here that have quiet personalities. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. When we say, well, I just have a quiet personality, so I can't talk to people about Jesus Christ. That's where you're wrong. Because God commands us to tell other people about him. And we ought to. Even if there wasn't a command in the Bible, wouldn't you want to tell other people about the best thing that's ever happened to you? Okay, but you don't have to be a, what I say is a, I think people reference as a type A personality. Not everyone in this room is going to be that way. You know, there, and I'm just going to shell shock you here. You know, there's a lot of people that live in a lot of other places that love God just as much as you folks do. But if they came, and okay, if I took everyone in this room, and we went out to, let's say, California, okay? Everyone in this room. We went out to California and we attended Jack Treber's church. I don't remember what the name of it is, but Jack Treber's church.
North Valley.
North Valley? Okay. All I could think of was Golden State, and I knew that's a college. If we went all, if I took everyone in this room, we load you all up on an airplane and we flew out there, you would be shell-shocked when you walked into probably one of the best independent fundamental Baptist churches on the West Coast. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that they're... But you know what? It's a different administration, but it's the same spirit. They love God just as, and probably more than some of us, me included. Okay? And there can't be this, well, just because I'm not. Well, hang on a second. Here's a key word that we a lot of times use, and well, I just don't think that that's, well, I just don't see. You know, there's one word I keep saying, and it's a little word, and it's I. Well, I. Well, what about God? What about God? Okay? And what we do is, as you know, you get young people especially, well, I just don't feel like I'm like so-and-so. I wish I was more like, no, I don't want you to be like them. I want you to be who God made you to be. Okay? I want you to grow. Yeah, okay, listen. I'm not, if I've got a lazy young person, I don't want that person to be lazy. Does that make sense? But that lazy young person doesn't have to do everything that a hardworking young person knows how to do. Right? That may not be who they are. But you'll find out, and this is interesting, if you work with people enough, you'll find out that, okay, maybe this young man, let's say this young man over here is a really hard worker. And this one is a little lacking in the area. Okay? But you know what you'll find out? That this young man over here has some character traits that this young man does not have. And so you know what you do? You go over to this one and say, all right, let's work on your work ethic a little bit. And then you go over to this one. You know, I'll just say this. You know, sometimes you're hardest working and sometimes you're most in that way will tend to be a very quiet, backward nature. I've seen it. And sometimes you're more outgoing, more social people are, you know, a little lacking in that area. It's truth. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. But you know what? I'm like, all right, let's work on your communication skills here. And this one is like, all right, you need to quit talking and start working. Okay? All right? But you know what? Each one of them, and it doesn't make this one, listen, it doesn't make this one any better than this young person, and it doesn't make this young person any better than this young person. Wouldn't you all agree that we all have stuff we can work on? I've got stuff I can work on. Okay? I've got a lot of stuff I can work on. So for me to say, well, I know how to do this and they don't. Yeah, but I guarantee they know 10 things that I don't know how to do too. Okay? And so we've got this, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us this picture of the body. And Romans chapter 12, I don't think I've had you. Go to Romans chapter number 12. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it goes through this about the body, about all the members of the body. And you know what follows? You know what chapter follows chapter 12? We call it the love chapter. It talks about charity. Okay, and if we're getting to the place where we're only looking at what this member can do for the body, and we don't have charity, and we're not loving these people, all right, we're falling short of what the Bible's teaching. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now listen, All right? My grandma used to, I used to go mow my grandma's yard. It was about an acre, and she paid me $20 a week to push mow her yard. All right? And hey, growing up, that was pretty good money. Okay? Now, I wouldn't think about doing it today, but I wouldn't push mow nothing if I can help it. All right? But back then, I was saving for a horse or whatever. I was saving money for it. But it would take me like 6 hours. Not because it took 6 hours to mow my grandma's yard. But like any good grandmother, she would always have a freezer full of popsicles and drinks. So like every 30 minutes, you know, I'm dying. So I got to go in and spend time with grandma. Okay? My grandma lived, breathed, slept the game Skip-Bo, okay? That card game Skip-Bo, most of you have probably seen it anyway, played it. I mean, she played that game all the time. I mean, if we went to grandma's house, you played Skip-Bo, okay? And, but you know what? And I've never played hardly any card games, but there's a word here, okay? In Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says, according as God hath dealt to every man. You know, it's interesting when you think about a card game like that. You don't have a choice. Listen, you don't have a choice in the cards that you're dealt, do you? That's part of the nature of a card game, right? That's the whole nature of any card game, as far as I know, is you don't know what cards you're being dealt until you flip them up and you look at them, you know. And Skip-Bo is, I mean, it's completely innocent as a game as anything, okay? Or Phase 10. I mean, there's a lot of fun family games that you can play that. And they, what do they use? They're using the cards. You know, I can't play a card that the person to the left of me has. I can only play a card that I have holding in my hand. Okay? That's all I can play. Now, I can be mad that I don't have, you know, 5 Skip-Bos sitting in my hand. But the truth of the matter is that almost never happens. You know what? The only thing I can play is what I have in my hand. Okay? I can't play what my neighbor has. And you know the other thing? Sometimes what you have in your, well, all the time, what you have in your hand, it changes. It doesn't always stay the same. But you still can only play what you've got in your hand. You know what God does? God deals. If we just go around this room, God's dealing to everyone something a little bit different. And you can only do what you've got to do it with. You can wish and wish and wish and wish and wish that you got something else, but truth of the matter is you can't change it. Okay? Now, let me just say this. The Bible says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, it would be wrong for me to say, well, look at my hand. Look what I got. My hand is better than your hand. And that is because of anything good you did? No. Because you were dealt that. Okay? Why do we get to this place, and I know I do, we get to this place, we see somebody that's almost equal or maybe even better at something than what we are. And our insecurity, and listen to me because this happens, our insecurity, we want to do whatever we have to do to lower that person so we feel better about where we're at. Okay? And you know, Bible teaches against that. And I don't have, it's time to be done. I'll probably preach it sometime because I think this is huge. I think it's huge. You know, just because somebody else's child or grandchild in the church is excelling at something doesn't mean that we have to look for every opportunity to tear that person down. Why don't we, hey, if I've got a young person that's good at something, why don't we say, hey, encourage it, feed that thing. Because listen, God did not make us all the same. He made us all different. And in the pride of our heart, sometimes we'll say, well, they're higher than I am. So what do? We try to kick the chair out from under them. Wonder if people don't come to Blessed Hope sometimes because they, you know, they're better heaven forbid that somebody comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's a better person than what we are. Oh my goodness. No, why wouldn't we accept them and say, okay, you're better at it than we are. There's, you know, I find every day that there's always somebody that's better at something than what I am. Always. And it'd be foolish of me to try to, well, yeah, but look what I can do. That's pride. That's pride. And look where Satan ended up. Okay? And we didn't get to finish everything. I had probably another 30 minutes, but let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray that you'd help us. Help me, Lord, to not be proudful. God, I look at the people you used in the Bible. Lord, you used 12 different disciples. Not a one of them were the same. You used them in different ways. And Lord, I pray that we would all just be grateful for what opportunities that you give us. Help us to accept people for where they're at. Lord, help us to all grow. But Lord, I pray that we would be more accepting and reach out to folks. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the time that you've given us here. In Jesus' name, amen.